Discussion.
Okay, we're going to get started, everybody. Roll call again.
Yes, we will need to take a second roll call.
Okay.
Chair Gans.
Here.
Mr. Herr.
Present.
Robin Schombach.
Present.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Viner.
Here.
Ms. Woods.
Present and accounted for.
Thank you. And our design professional is Faye Tom.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is IID-16-02, rendezvous T16SA00432. And we're going to start with the project presentation.
Hello, everybody. My name is Mike Colbert. I'm a SWAM Associates Architect here in town. SWAM is assisting Davis out of Phoenix on this project, the Rendezvous Urban Flats. I'm going to briefly go through the modifications to the IID that we're requesting for this project. And there's one additional one that I'll pass out here, too, that we've added to the list from the packet since the packet has been sent out. And then the folks, Buck Yee and Richard Drinkwater, will go through the building itself and the design of the building. And Tim Johnson from the Planning Center is here to discuss the site and the landscape features of the project. So real quickly, let me skip a couple slides forward. We are at the corner of Broadway and Broadway and Stone. This is right next to the 24-story tower at One South Church. The best known feature on this is the Benz Bells murals that exist on the original foundations of the building that was another tower was supposed to be built there. This was all built over a 3-story parking garage, so there's 3 stories of parking below. It fills the entire site. And as you'll see, we intend on preserving the murals that exist. In fact, one of the murals will be reused on this site. A little history on that. I'm a Benz Bells recipient. I'm a good friend of Jeanette Mare's. We've met with Jeanette. We've discussed the murals. They really like the concept, and Jeanette really likes the concept of what you're going to see here. It's not changed since we met with her in last November. The other murals, the other three, the builder intends on packaging these up and salvaging them for reuse in other locations. We're pursuing if we can find other locations right now. One possibility is the new building that's going here. I'm reaching out to them to see if there are some possibilities to put in a mural. That's the, I can't remember the name of the project, but it's right next to the Charles O'Brown House.
Foundation for Senior Living. We looked at that project earlier this year.
Yeah. So that's one possibility we're looking at. We're also looking at other locations and other possibilities. The one mural we're saving is the North Mural, which is the only one that was commissioned. Benz Bells was actually commissioned to do the North Mural. And that was the one that was the most important to them because there are tiles that have people have written their names on them, and they put those tiles in the mural. So that's the one we want to save. So, all right, stepping back real quickly. I'll go through these. You guys are obviously familiar with all of these different exceptions. First off, out of the UDC major street and route setback. By the way, before I get started, all of these are allowed within the downtown 4 sub-district. So major streets and setbacks, and route setback, perimeter yards, maximum lot coverage, maximum building height. Right now the zoning is C3 and OCR. There's actually two different parcels that we're building on top of here. So the maximum building height, the C3 is 75 feet, OCR is 300 feet. We're just over 75 feet. We're about 95 feet. I'll talk a little more about that. Landscaping and screening standards. Of course, this property, like downstairs, downtown, we want to go up to the property limits. So as to the major streets and setbacks, the landscape screening standards. Native plant preservations. As I said, there's a parking garage that was built in the mid-80s. There are no native plants that exist on this or that were native before. Everything was obviously removed in the 80s. The technical standards related to solid waste and recycling. The existing building has a compactor in the garage presently. We would look to use that same compactor for this building. The frequency of pickups will just increase with this new tenant. Then the new thing we've added is this section related to accessing and maneuvering standards. That was one of the comments we got on our development package on our first review. We would still want to work with environmental services. We want to see if there's a way that they can use environmental services to pick up the trash recycling. But right now, we don't meet all their standards. So we're after a waiver from that so we can continue using the company that exists and that is being used. And then, forgot it. Had these to hand out.
sorry, may I read that again? You have a compactor existing.
That's right.
So what are you asking for here again?
The city requires that we meet all maneuvering and height and all of those sorts of requirements. And we don't meet those. Yeah, so for instance, the requirement's 25 feet of clearance. We only have 15 feet because this is on the first level of parking garage.
Are they not making your pickups now? Is that the point?
No, Fire Marshal Services is not making the pickups.
Private
contractor. And you want to switch to them?
It's a private contractor.
Or you want them to waive it because you're using a private company?
Correct.
The latter.
Okay.
The latter, but we're also talking to Environmental Services to see if there's some accommodations we can make that Environmental Services would come down and pick this up as well. What we found is the Unisource Tower is one example. The hotel is under construction. Both of those have elevated compactors. Environmental Services would not touch those when we did the Unisource Tower with Davis originally. Now they will. In fact, now they're actually taking and picking up the trash and recycling at Unisource Tower now, and they'll be doing the hotel in the future as well. So there's some options we want to look at with them. The last thing is the multi-zone parcels, of course. As I said, we are two parcels with different zones. Now, the key thing is the existing parking garage meets the current requirements. The development package for the One South Church building identified, I think it was 250 spaces. This is over 400 parking spaces. This is roughly a 400 parking space garage. So the smaller structure here than what was originally proposed with that development package requires less parking than what the other structure would. So we meet all the parking requirements that the city of Tucson requires at this point in time. So, any questions on the IID modifications? Okay.
Thanks, Mike. Hello, my name is Buck Yee, principal project architect at Davis, also a native to Tucson, Arizona. Rendezvous. We define it as a unique destination where people gather and interact for everyday life in an urban setting. These are those settings that you see around downtown where you have outdoor dining, shade, pedestrian-activated amenities. And we're trying to recreate this for this unique site that we're in. The site was originally planned for a twin tower. We're not going to build a twin tower, but what we looked at was the unique site characteristics, and our concept was to complete the composition. And then the site itself is triangular in shape. Here's the base of where the Benz bells are located. And the diagonal was very strong. It invites the community from the south, brings it into the courtyard, and opens it up into the downtown. So with that said, we planned our building around this triangular site, taking advantage of the hard corner on Broadway and Stone, creating essentially an L-shaped plan. With the inside of the L, we're creating a public courtyard. It's a podium building, five levels of luxury residential apartments over a four-story podium with retail along Stone and some retail along Broadway. The building essentially floats above the ground plane. We're trying to create this pedestrian activated scenario where the community is welcomed into our site. As Mike mentioned, we saw a emotional connection with the community to the Benz Bills mural. We're preserving one. We're going to celebrate it in our plaza, standing proud above a water feature, and it is in direct relationship to the Fox Theater to the north. And this this plaza will open up on the north end and pay respect to what I remember as the Valley National Bank building, which is now Chase Bank, to our east. With that said, I'm going to turn it over to Richard, and then he's going to talk about the concept behind the building.
Thanks, Buck. Thanks for having us. Again, as a designer, we always look at the context and what's around it. When we first designed a building like this, we always look at the context and what's around us, how we draw inspiration from those buildings, and respect those buildings. obviously we're on the side of the tower. Here, sorry.
Could you speak up a little bit louder?
If I mumble, that's kind of yell. Sorry.
Okay, so a little more volume will help.
Okay.
Okay.
So in looking at our immediate neighbor, obviously, is this is a 33 tower. In this case, one of the takeaways on this one was actually that we noticed that you have the vertical white mullions, kind of a vertical accent feature on the design of the building. And that's horizontal blue accent mullions as well, which is sort of the nearest thing that people don't notice initially. But it has a sort of layering of vertical and horizontal accent color usage. It also deals with the corner. It's on an angular site. So it uses actually chamfered corners to kind of create a geometric sort of interest within its design. So sort of a formalistic way, we're going to do the same thing with our corners. We have a triangular site, we're actually going to create points instead. So geometrically, we're going to relate to this. Also, architecturally, with the vertical white detail elements, you'll see those in our design, picking up on those ideas in our building. This is a Ben's Bells piece that's currently designed, installed, as you've seen it. This is actually the one, behind this one is the one that we'll actually be relocating. The others will be stored, obviously, and demounted. This is a brown house, which is to our south. Again, late 19th century residential building, adobe, earth tone design, color. The takeaway here really is sort of that outdoor living of the idea of the porch or the veranda. That you know, as a residential piece, you live outdoors in this environment, you want to have shade. So all of our units in our building have actually usable balconies and shaded, covered outdoor spaces. So indoor outdoor living applies in the 21st century, just as it did here. They've also got accent colors, which, again, we see an accent color on our wall. Two adjacent residential, more contemporary buildings that we have. This one is fairly typical of the genre. It's fairly somewhat boxy, kind of flat, planar facades, punched windows, more facade, less window. We're going to distinguish ourselves a little bit more by having more glass, more relief, more articulation, more design, more facades to kind of not look quite so like the typical residential building. Chase Bank Building, which is the other, obviously, key historic building next to us. The takeaways on that one, again, it's a very beautiful revival-style building, high-rise from 1929. We like the fact that it has the classic articulation of base, middle, top. It's got some beautifully proportioned windows that we looked at. Excuse me. It has a high overhead ground floor with public use. A large amount of glazing on that floor, again, which we pick up on our design as well. It's kind of an attic story, which we have a penthouse floor on our building, which is higher than the other floors. We also have a high screen on our roof to kind of create that within a six-story format. We create kind of that same proportion of base, middle, top on our building in a more subtle contemporary way, but again, picking up on sort of the overall formal idea of that building and respecting that and carrying it into our building. And we've also picked up on one of the color and texture on the materials. The terracotta has a very nice cream color. It's one of the materials that we picked up on. In this case, we're using textured masonry on our building as an accent material, so you'll see that as well in our room. The last one is a Fox Theater to our north, kind of really nice sort of Southwest Deco period piece whenever it was built. I'm not quite sure, but it has that sort of beautiful character to it that we also want to respect and sort of pick up on. Again, sort of nice planar facades with these bunches of color. Again, the accent colors, and they use that judiciously to kind of create this sort of, you know, wow factor, but still very elegant and understated without being garish or goofy. Also the kind of the bold sort of massings of vertical and horizontal intersect to create those dramatic sort of classic deco shapes that you see as well. So our actual accent colors on our building are inspired by desert landscape colors that we have in our palette. So again, sort of pops of color within fields of more neutral or green, you know, backgrounds so that we create, again, judicious use of color for accents. So, and we'll get more into that later. Some massing views of our design in context. Obviously, here's our tower, Chase Bank, and nearby residential building. So, it's in a six-story format, you see how we're now. Kind of a nice sort of foreground foil to the high-rise building, not a twin tower anymore. So, we play kind of nicely with the adjacent buildings in terms of height. This is that building as well. We're 75 feet to the roof. I think these are similar height. So, kind of an overview of how we sit within. Site. Another view. This is now looking kind of from the north. The Fox Theater is actually here. You see how now we've left this open space between our buildings to kind of open plaza, which is here, really opens that way. This is our site plan, typical floor plan, just in the way of explanation, simple L-shape, residential plan, 19 units before, one to two bedrooms, everything stacks very cleanly. You can see our balconies on the outside. And coming to the first floor plaza, stone, Broadway, Congress, I get those mixed up. Existing in-ramp and out-ramp, those are kind of our main site pieces we have to sort of work within. Buck mentioned the strong diagonal through the site, you can see that very clearly. This is now all public plaza here. We've got kind of a more privatized plaza back here, courtyard for the residents. That's where we have the fire pits, barbecues, outdoor space, things for the residents only, right in this area. First floor, our street frontage is primarily retail here. Our lobby is here, more retail here. So we're really going to create street frontages of public retail uses. We have a little bit of mechanical on this floor, which is tucked back here. That's what makes for it. So we put it. And a couple of residential units, residential amenity area. That's kind of the chef kitchen and kind of other fun spaces for the residences and more residential here. They have private patios as well outside their units, so kind of a nice spot. As we kind of go from plan down to 3D, now you're starting to see how the units kind of already exist on the floor. It's going to cut away with the top floor removed. We always do glass in the corners, again, living rooms in the corners. We want to kind of break those corners a little bit visually with a lot of glass and transparency. Typical inline units, we always split bedrooms, so then we have a nice kind of layout, plan arrangement for all of our units. And you can start to see some of the relief within the facades that we create. Standard unit looking out from the living room to the dining area out to the exterior. Again, open plan, high ceilings, 9-foot ceilings, maximizing our glass at the perimeter at the living space. The elevations you've seen in your package, so I won't be on those too much. But again, you start to see the glazed ground floor, we float the upper five floors, and now we sort of create scale, rhythm, and articulation with the facades. Light elements, the horizontal color accent pieces, which is about 8 inches, and the higher the top, which is a nice kind of cap, kind of a skyline termination. It's more kind of moving around the building. We have four-side architecture here, so we don't have a back. Everything is essentially designed. This is kind of from the west. This is where the office tower sits. It's in the bent bell. Installation that you see here. This is where we've actually removed the first floor on our plaza on the corner to kind of open that up to the bank, theater, and to that more. All of our mechanical on the roof is screen. And this is south on Broadway. Here again, we brought the sidewalk back along that south street, which is currently not there. So that's our ramp. And again, this is where our basic elevation. Again, scale, rhythm, texture. You see how we brought some of the masonry in, the eaves, we have metal, we have the cement panels on the facade, so we kind of create a nice, really rich looking facade, but it's still very simple.
So am I reading this elevation is slightly updated from the one in our packet, is that correct? The extension of the glazing, the storefront, is goes deeper?
Yes.
Is that correct?
All of that retail space down as well.
Okay, thank you.
That's
some of this is in response to our, we met with Bay.
That's what I was gathering. I just wanted to make sure I was reading that correctly. Thank you.
This is from the very southwest corner. A few 3D views, again, I'll show you more of the three-dimensional character of it. So as you come up the street, you know, you get a very dramatic, you know, that corner prospect is really the first thing you can see. Again, really emphasizing that triangular geometry of the site, building. Sort of modules of the white elements again, sort of white framework pieces that kind of give scale and rhythm march along that facade. The shadowing and depth on the balcony as well. Balcony rounds, this is all metal on the exterior, and again, those are painted metal where the color accents are, so we're trying to have a fading type product. Broadway stone corner, again, we're going to wrap that refresh around the corner. entry is actually here for the residential units, and there's a spire and a canopy that turns out to kind of better. That's more the Stone Avenue elevation, sort of a 3D view. Here's our entry for residential units. The first floor we're showing only, we're not showing any EIFAs on the first floor. It's all masonry, it's glass, or it's some additional panel system. So we wanted to keep the EIFAs up high.
Helpful to introduce the board and kind of highlight each color one here.
Okay, sure. This is our kind of a trendstone type accent material. This is a cement. Applying.
Texture base.
Thank you. This is our other.
Which will be used?
You'll see it here.
Okay.
Is it the whole plinth is that then, more or less?
The select walls of it, okay. Select elements of it, not everything. The first floor is more than 50% glass, so.
So glass and the trendstone?
Yes, trendstone.
Okay.
This is also the cement board product, which is this color. That's what you see here in the plank system of the building, you know, rain screen application. You'll see some of it also on the first floor, like here. So we kind of use it throughout the facades. These are actually the three accent colors that you see on the actual building itself. So in here they look a bit dull, but again, trying to find the right balance of pop, but not too bright. So that's what these are. This is the white, and it's actually a warm off white. It's not quite white, but for these elements. And then the gray is actually more of the EIFS color that you see here is the gray. Gray tones. So, and the dark is actually all our blinds and metal color, which screams metal. So, you have a nice contrasting palette that works really well, I think. And then, kind of the entry comes in view here. We have a large canopy. The other thing is, all of our soffits on our balconies are a composite product. We want to kind of create something a little unusual to kind of account for a more warmer feeling material wise. So, we're going through a composite wood product.
It is a wood frame building, okay.
So it's a wood frame, it's the northeast corner. Again, how we've held the first floor away, so this is all open, that's the plaza beyond. That's kind of as you approach from that corner. And as we kind of move around the building, this is where the office tower sits. We've removed that just in this view. Now you see the public plaza in the air here. This is the Ben's Mill mural relocation, the fountain in front of it, or future in front of it. Behind that is actually the residential amenity area, which is private. That's where they have their outdoor space. And then this is that connector through diagonally on the site. You see how our units wrap. This is only really the only exposed west elevation we have on the building. So that has less windows in it, obviously, for some site control. So the tower shades most of that. There's a view from the Fox Theater. This is why we also want to use the palm trees. Along here, so that visibility onto the plaza and back is maintained. We want to be able to see that space. So this is the corner. There's the Chase Bank building.
I'm sorry, are those existing ones? Aren't there existing ones right there?
No, the
palm trees?
The existing palm trees are along the perimeter of the block, and there's existing palm trees inside the block in the plaza.
Oh, okay.
Those are actually African sumacs right there now. And and there is no visual connection because of the middle and upper story blocking the view from Fox into that plaza.
Okay. Thank you.
So, kind of, again, the intent of the vista into that space is in and out. And obviously, the corner of building architecturally, and that building addresses that corner in a very dramatic way. That's kind of an eye level view looking from that corner, looking. There's a diagonal plazas here, office building entries here. That's leading southbound stone. And you can see how we have the overhang, the building above, creating shade, also the trees that we're adding, landscape that we're adding. So, making for a very nice shade and pedestrian experience. We have seating built into the plaza as well. It's kind of designed as a multi-function space to address a little bit more in detail. But again, so we can kind of fence out there and sort of new office building entries here. It's a plaza, landscaping.
Where's the ADA access in this case?
Just in the foreground here.
Okay.
It's along Congress. This makes a great canvas for what I call civic events, like Meet Yourself Tucson, arts and crafts event. The plaza is large enough where the users within the tower can come down to rendezvous here and be a nice canvas for
actually, where's the exit, I guess, or the entrance from the tower? How does that meet with your plaza?
Yeah, that where the tower entrance is from the plaza.
You go back.
Go back one.
Go back.
So this.
It's right here. The office tower entry is here.
Okay, so the stairs are right in front of us.
Right
back.
Yes. Yeah, the tower entrance is here.
Okay.
So it opens onto that space. I think we're ready for the landscape. And this is just a view of that residential amenity space. I mean, if you come outside the door of the tower, the residential building, this is what you'll see. Barbecues, fire pits, shaded pieces. The private patios for the units are actually the lanes. And that's actually the back of the bins. So that gives some screening and shading from the rest of the plaza. A private, very nice space.
Thanks. Thank you for your time. My name is Tim Johnson with the Planning Center. I'm going to speak to the streetscape and the plaza experience relative to the planning area of the park. This is did everybody get a copy of the presentation? I don't want to go through these bullet items unless we have to. Let me just talk about the overlay zones first, and I'll go through the first two bullet items with the graphics. One thing relative to the plaza is one of the requirements that we need to meet is 5% of the GFA as public open space in the plaza. We have almost five times that amount, and we have 23% of that. And I think I'd like to just point to the architects and the owners' benefit, or to their credit, they realize the benefit of that plaza. In my opinion, it's going to become kind of the western anchor, if you will, of the five and the expansion of Congress and downtown. When you go to a second Saturday right now, a lot of stuff is happening east of our site, and it kind of peters out by the time you get to our site. But maintaining and honoring that public plaza, I think, is really going to help the greater downtown area. We're other overlay zone requirements, streetscape design manual. I think we'll get into some of the specifics on that. I think there were some questions by the community committee members on the plant material and also the paper material, so we'll get to that in future slides. Widths are being maintained as we'll go into that, especially along stone. We have anywhere from 16 to 18 feet. There's a slight taper from the building frontage to, not even to the back of the curb, but to what we're referring to as the respite area where we're going to have the street trees. So there's even an additional 4 to 5 feet beyond that, but we have 16 to 18 feet good width for pedestrian circulation. Trees in the plant belt compatible with this historical downtown narrative. We have revised one of our street trees to meet TDOT's questions and concerns, and that's changing out the honey locust that's not on the list to the southern live oak and a particular variety of the southern live oak. We would like to continue the conversation on the palm trees and why we feel those are historically appropriate for this site in particular, because of the palm trees that are both in the public right-of-way around the greater block, as well as the palm trees that are on site. And Lori, I won't forget you. I think you had some questions about some of the planetary plug-ins. You can see the rendered site plan there. I think Richard has already talked about a lot of the components of that in terms of the public plaza and the private residential courtyard. Oops, I didn't think my paper would do that. And then the strong diagonal crosswalk access. One thing I did want to point out is the water feature element. When we were initially going through some of the very early conceptual designs, you know, water in downtown Tucson, is that going to be taboo? And I think rightly so, we talked about it and we convinced everybody that this is one of the few locations in downtown Tucson that has water, and a judicious use of it and honoring the relocated Bensville mural would be very applicable to the site. So that continues to be part of the design. Plant pellet materials. We have relatively few trees on the site, and that's by design. And the reason is the site is going to become very shaded. You know, we've got a plus 300 foot building to the west. The new L building is going to provide a lot of shade from the south and some of the morning. So our intent with the trees is to provide those along the streetscape experiments predominantly, and to use those palm trees to kind of balance that pedestrian versus the building scale. A lot of our plant material, the shrubs and accents, very colorful, using those as accents predominantly to balance some of the gray and muted tones of the hardscape materials. And then I would also add that a lot of the accents that we're using, we refer to those as architectural plants. Don't take effect at the fence architects. But what we mean by that is a very sculptural and structural and form. So in some of the plant piles, we're playing with some of the ornamental grasses juxtaposed against some of the yuccas or the more coarse materials of the agaves. Some of the hardscape materials, you could see it in the rendered site plan. Our pavers, we're using a mix of pavers trying to balance the new contemporary building with the existing streetscape experience. So everybody's familiar with the red brick pavers that are in around downtown Tucson. We're going to continue to use those. Rendered site plan. We're going to continue to use those in portions of the streetscape. In particular, here where they will be semi-permeable, if you will, they're not going to be grouted. We don't need to meet the grouted requirement there within the public right-of-way because it's not made of a pedestrian thoroughfare. We're keeping them at the corners here and there. Your question earlier, Lori, about the ADA access, it's actually remaining exactly where it is. So the current ADA access for that building is actually this front. Uh-huh. And there might be a slight regrade there, but it'll still be 80. We also have two new pavers, more of a modern feel to those, and utilizing those on the diagonal to accentuate that line and then mixing it up in a pattern to kind of create a cadence as people are walking along Stone Avenue and playing off the fenestration that the architecture provides. Some of these images, I think, are a little bit of a repeat of what Richard had talked about, but you can see one aspect that I'm really excited about in this is the sort of flexible space that Buck was alluding to, this larger space gap, and how that can be used either on Second Saturdays or other organizations, or perhaps Bensville is going to have some type of event that honors a mural. And then this really, in my opinion, interesting space where the first floor doesn't continue, where it's cantilevered over, and you have that nice view into the site as people are traveling westbound along Congress. We want specifically to blur the lines of what's public and private in terms of the streetscape and the public plaza. And our intent to do that is directly related to our paving materials. And so what you'll see along here is that the average person really doesn't know where the public right-of-way is, and that's very specific. And we do understand that TDOT has some concerns about public safety with regard to the heaving of pavers, and the client has agreed within the public right-of-way to put those pavers on concrete. Chris, I know you have some questions maybe about the permeableness of it, but we do have a parking garage underneath, so.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm just talking about
And then I'll just run through quickly through some images of the plaza. Again, the intention with the palm trees at this location is to provide visual access and the connection between Fox to the north, the pedestrian activity on Congress. We're going to have some seating areas in and around the relocated mural and the fountain with a negative edge.
Could you go back to the water feature? Is it a pool of water?
Yes.
Is there water going into it? Is there?
So we're still finalizing the depths and the details of this, but the intention is to have a pool of water in front of and below the mural.
Uh-huh.
That'll have a negative edge here and a negative edge here, but it'll spill down into either a grade or a channel that'll be collected. And then we'll have some seating areas around it. Now, we know we have to meet certain requirements in terms of depth and drowning dangers of that nature, but we wanted it to be very interactive. And then Richard brought up a really good point. We wanted to really light up at night. And so providing some agitation to the surface of that water feature and getting some of that reflectivity below, just sort of splashing light across the mural, we think will be a very nice effect.
Yeah, it seems like it would be important for such a large space like that to also have it be audible. You know,
well,
to be able to hear the water, and it kind of draws you in as well.
And that's a really good point, and we feel that this zero edge and the zero edge is going to provide that. So the water's going to be cascading down.
So there's no real jets per
se,
but there are what I would call bubblers. Create the agitation. The submersible lights in the basin will shine up on the Sandspiel mural at night and create another effect. And as you were saying, the negative edge fall will give you that waterfall effect on noise.
Yeah, it seems like if you had verticality of the water, it would take away from the mural, you know, big things splashing up.
Excuse me, the residential courtyard, where we'll have some more smaller number of people gathering, the fire pit, TV in the wall. And what you see here, that's actually the backside of the mural. So the mural is actually providing some privacy to the residential courtyard as well. Can I get some additional benefit out of that? Some streetscape. These are the ones that we previously had, Honey Locust, and those are now going to be live oaks, and then the shade. We are meeting the shade requirement.
Yeah, I remember who was supposed to talk about that.
Yeah, what is our percentage? Nearly 80%.
Yeah, 78.8%. Lori, I think you might have had some questions about the existing plant material. And
well, after we talked on the phone, so first of all, I commend your design team for reaching out and just kind of having an informal conversation with myself and whoever else was included in that. I thought that was really helpful, at least for me. But we had talked about some of the things, and then afterwards when I drove by, I realized that what about the existing mature olive trees and some of the other plant materials that are out there? Are there any plans for those, or off with their heads, or how do you deal with that? I mean, there seems like they would be valuable specimens to it for some situation.
Well, it's a really good point. We went out and looked at them again. The existing olives are in grass. Most of larger, I would say, more mature trees are in grass. And what they've done is they've done a really good job of watering them for the past 20 or 30 years. My concern about those olive trees in particular would be, A, we need to make sure that they're not allergenic, because I'm not entirely certain that they are the non-allergenic type based on the day that they were planted. And then B would be, are they as transplantable as another tree might be, given that they're on top of a parking garage and have limited soil depth,
right?
And they've been in grass for so long, and we're not proposing to put any grass back in, so they're going to have a very different water regime. The smaller trees along Stone, I thought those were oaks for a second. They are an evergreen pistache.
Oh, okay.
Which is a really neat little tree, but I think they've probably been that same size for a very, very long time and will continue to be, and it's not necessarily what we want to put back in order to bridge that gap between the pedestrian experience and the building. The palm trees are just too large to salvage. Again, they are in grass.
What size are the olives?
The olives, if I had to give them a caliber, almost definitely not round. They're well over, probably close to 36-inch caliber.
Well, a request that if you actually have to cut them down, you try to save some of the wood, and they would take some of it. It's great wood. So
I'm not sure that's an appropriate request, Mr. Chair.
No, I'm just saying for cutting down, that could be in the motion.
I'm not writing that down as a condition, Chris.
Well, I didn't hear that.
Actually, I'd like to comment a little bit about the olives. You can't plant new ones of the spelly species, and as far as I'm concerned, that's a ridiculous law because the guy who made it, his family, it patented those things. And it's kind of like really weird. But you can move them. And I've moved olives before in the past. They have a very shallow, it's about 2.5 feet by about a 4-foot circle. You can cut off the rest of the roots. They are transportable, doesn't matter with the grass. They really only need watering once a month. I'd like to see you try with them or move them somewhere else. They're pretty nice trees. I had a question about plants too. I see orchid as one of your listed trees.
Yes.
And I've been growing them for 30 years here, and they die back to the ground anytime it gets below 25 degrees. And they lose all their leaves and create huge litter at 31 degrees, and then they lose their branches at 28 degrees, and they're not hardy here. You might want to consider something that's more like hardy down to 15 degrees, which we're starting to see more of here. They're beautiful, but they're basically shrubs that die back every year if it's cold.
Which ones were they on the plan?
We're using those in the smaller areas to try to create a more, as you just mentioned, they're a delicate plant.
Yeah.
And we're trying to specifically create that effect. Our intention for use there is that we're near a body of water. Granted, it's shaded, so we don't have the heat gain that we're going to have through the winter. But
and they're in raised containers.
They are in raised planters, but they're also in the urban heat island. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Good luck.
It's a bit of an experiment.
Yeah.
I'd like them to continue moving on in their presentation, sure. And we can say some of these questions, unless there's some clarifying ones as we go along.
Did you have more, Tim?
No, that was it.
I think we were done with our presentation anyway. Okay. Opening up the questions.
Any brief questions at this time before we move on to the staff report?
Final comment?
Thank you for having us. We think we're bringing a very inspiring piece of architecture to downtown Tucson. Around the transit-oriented district, I see that the modern streetcar has now wrapped our site within walking distance. There's 4 stop stations, and we just want to fulfill this dream that you guys had envisioned for the downtown core.
I do have one question about the materials. There's been some question of low-E glass and so on and so forth, and we're supposed to look at glare and all the other things in our consideration, and you didn't really mention the glass that's there. I will say one thing. All of your images are very compelling because the glass is listed as blue, but on your chart, they are definitely not blue and may or may not reflect blue, and so there's not that element in your design that the show, and I'm just wondering why you didn't put in blue, because it's probably more compatible with the existing building.
As,
or some blue accent that's a very, very heavy, warm palette. And
yes. Well, what we selected on our glass was a clear base substrate glass, so it's clear. The R100 coating that we're looking at, which is high performance, low E, non reflective, non tinted, does give a little bit blue, just intrinsically because of its coating. Other coatings you see tend to go greenish, so I want to avoid the greens, go more blue. So what we did want to do tinted glass, because that just, for residential use, it colors everything internally, and it's really kind of a bit disturbing. So
okay.
Clear is sort of like the standard that we really want to do for residential design. Obviously, you're going to pick up on the office with your glass, I mean, what that is.
And so we know how hard it is to cool that building.
It's not reflective, and that's what we need to do.
Okay.
So, and again, graphically, it's always a challenge of, you know, in a concept model, you know, it's suggested that it's reflecting the sky. Why it tends to be blue, like this, like, that's how glass tends to behave.
It's just the blue part is what makes the whole scheme work for me, so I just thought I'd throw that out there. It's not a condition. Comment.
Okay.
Okay. Steph.
Move on to staff report, please.
If I could please ask you to go back to the first aerial, the oversight that shows the context. We've been in talks with the developer on and off for about a year now. They first brought this item to us to review with kind of a early stage discussion. We realized quickly that the transition on this site would be something that we would need to consider. We talked to Mike and the architects at that time to kind of provide information for us that would reflect the proper transition within this area. As they're building on top of, essentially, the elevator shaft is there, and they're utilizing the existing structure on the site. Recently, we had a discussion with the contractor that actually assisted with the Bensbell project, and he led us to believe that removing that would be kind of a challenge during the process. We should discuss their ability to relocate it, and consider what the financial piece to that would be. It might be challenging to take that down, especially the northern mural, so please keep that in mind. In regards to the streetscape, we're currently working on updating and formalizing the streetscape manual, and Tim is going to be working with that along with the planning center and the city departments to ensure we're addressing that properly. There is some concern about using brick, but we feel that we can work closely with TDOT and make sure that happens in a way that's kind of in harmony with what they're requesting. They have met each portion of the Rio Nuevo area in section 5.12.7, which outlines kind of the activation of the street, the percentage of glazing that's allowed within the area, and the color palette discussion. The three projects that we've seen previously have looked closely to the historic structures. Again, that's the Fox Theater, the Chase Bank, and the Brown House, to pick up some of their color cues. With this project, they wanted to introduce some additional kind of desert flowering tones, which is the stripes that they've added along the balconies. There's some concern about that within the community. I've received feedback on if the colors are correct. Ultimately, the developer has brought forward an interesting color palette, which is going to be new to that area, and it would be appropriate to add some new color. Overall, the neighborhood meeting was positive. I believe that we had no concerns and comments come back to us as staff. They are going to be staging generally on the site. I do understand there's going to be some hooding and possible long-term rental or purchase of some parking spaces in the right-of-way. We're working again with the Transportation Department and Donovan Derman to ensure that that's a possible problem. Safety-wise, they will be asking their staff to attend the streetcar training to ensure that that piece is managed properly. It will be a condition of their development package, not necessarily of the infill incentive district. Overall, it's very positive, and we're happy to see the site.
Any questions for Carol?
Thank you.
I do, actually. Carolyn, you mentioned the brick and the DOT having a concern with the brick, but I was trying to recall on the Poster for Us project that's at the previously, what was the diocese?
Yes.
I believe that project also includes brick in the pavers in the sidewalk, and so did the one that we just looked at that was adjacent to Scott or similar to Scott. So is there a different criteria, different areas where brick or pavers can be used? Because I'm confused by that.
Just a point of clarification. You know, the diocese has decided not to use brick.
At the Poster Frost project?
Well, the Poster Frost, the Marist College project is going to have to conform to our guide.
Right, but I'm talking about the one that's up on the corner.
Yes.
Anyway, there have been several projects.
Right.
That one may change, but we have looked at them and we've actually discussed that there's a pallet of brick. So I'm just confused by that. So can you explain that?
Absolutely, Robin. In the last 12 to 15 days, we've had going conversations with the Department of Transportation on safety in the right-of-way. And they feel that these bricks cause heaving and slip and trip hazards. And they have actually required the developers at the last kind of moment within the development package to redesign the areas within the right-of-way to be concrete.
I wasn't imagining that.
No, you were not.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and that's something we're going to be discussing with the streetscape manual. And actually, once we bring that through the public process, we can address it. They are comfortable with having strips of brick along the side that would, you could place your utilities in those areas if you had a drip irrigation system that they could be worked on, and kind of any kind of maintenance item would be in those strips. But they are definitely requiring a 6 to 8 foot concrete sidewalk.
Okay, so that's helpful, thank you.
And it is their citing health and safety, which we cannot trump with the infill incentive district.
I do actually have a question about staff. This package is comprehensive over a cumulative period, but we're seeing new stuff now. But I looked back over, some of the initial reviews and things, and some of the pieces were denied. There was questions of drainage and yada, yada, yada. Have all of those now been met?
So frequently what we request from the applicant is they go through the first kind of zoning compliance review. Mm-hmm. So our review staff and process team on the first floor take a look at the code and ensure that we capture properly all of the modifications that need to be requested. An example of this would be the ES comment on circulation that he passed around. Over time, there are generally 2 to 3 reviews with each development package. I request that they go through the first review so we have a clear idea of what the majority of the modifications are, and also for that public piece with the neighborhood meetings and the outreach so they have a clear idea of what is being requested. We're meeting the needs of the community, and we're also meeting the needs of the developers so that they have an idea of what really is happening on the ground. And then they bring the project to you all to review. So you have... know which and why.
I guess I'm asking as a point of reference, are any of the issues that were brought up in initial reviews now something we should be asking about that you see as a member of staff in reviewing this?
No.
They have all been satisfied. Okay, thank you.
They will be satisfied once the development package is reviewed.
Okay.
But we did not capture anything that was kind of a drop-dead issue.
Okay.
Faye and I did have a pre-application meeting with them, and there were several items that they updated, and I'll ask him to go through that closer.
Okay.
But they, you know, they worked with staff and they worked with the design professional to update those. And the initial packet that you're seeing in front of you does not contain all of the updates.
That's kind of what I figured. That's why I asked. Okay, thank you.
Let's move on to the design professional findings.
Yeah, the in general, the applicants reviewed their package, and as you said, they've added some new materials to it. So that's part of the response to some of our comments. But just in general, we were concerned about the south elevation on the first floor, and they came back with additional glass and more retail on that south elevation.
That's it.
Yeah. The let's see, the talk about the glare of the glass, and then we've responded with that. Then the front entrance. When I was looking at this earlier, you know, we saw the canopy coming out towards you, and I didn't feel like that was strong enough. But I didn't realize that the material that goes all the way up was a different material than the rest of the project. So I think looking at it again, I think it's strong enough to meet the requirements. The colors, you showed the colors. I was concerned that it was going to be really bright and be fighting, but it's fine. This one here, relationship to Chase Bank and the Fox and some of the historic buildings. To me, I didn't think there was a strong enough relationship, but you heard the Richard explain why he chose the materials he did, and mostly it comes in the form of colors and maybe some textures. So you guys can take a harder look at that. My point of view is that I think we're still not quite there. But the 24-hour street, I don't think we have a sidewalk that goes on Congress that keeps going, right? It stops basically at this building, so we have to be using the diagonal to go across, which makes the south elevation, I thought it'd be more important. And so I was just wondering if there was some applicant review to the
Hey, what did you mean about the sidewalk on Congress? There is a sidewalk on Congress.
On the north side.
It goes underneath the...
That's
right there.
That's correct. That's what
I mean, it's not right on Congress, but there is a pedestrian access.
It does continue underneath the building.
It does. It's like an arcade there.
Right. That's correct.
And that's essentially what you're now creating on the south side.
Exactly.
Okay.
The only other thing that I had was the glass on the west side, and the tower covers most of the building, but on the west corner, seemed like there should have been maybe a little more response to some of the solar aspects of it. I don't know if you had a chance to change that. I didn't quite compare it to that. Yeah.
Oh. Well,
there you go. The building is now shut off.
Thank you. Thank you for the noise level going down.
They're going to turn off the oxygen in 15 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Can we look at the west elevation again?
Well, I'm trying to, but what's the escape or double tap?
Just double tap.
Double tap?
So you'll be okay.
When you want it to move, it won't.
From the south elevation?
What, the west? Yeah, the one that Faye was talking about.
Angled shot we have of that.
Yeah.
West elevation, that one?
That one there.
Yeah.
So, Faye, could you talk about your concern with the drawing?
Let's see, let me get orientated. Which is the.
It's basically the
Broadway.
South is to the right.
That's the Broadway.
This is actually the elevation of the west, the end of that wing, which is essentially.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this.
Right.
So really, I've got bedrooms with windows that are smaller than the other bedrooms on that elevation, and then a living room on the corner. So I mean, proportionally, I got the least amount of windows.
You have less, glass relative to the other units.
Yeah. The other units have bigger windows and bedrooms. These are a little smaller. So. Okay.
What's the rating on the glass?
Rating?
What's the solar rating on the glass?
The value is 1.6.
Solar heating is 0.23.
0.23 for solar heating, yeah.
I don't know about that. I mean, is it solar band 70, 80?
Solar band 100.
Or 100, wow.
So good.
That's good.
That's very good.
Can you remind us of your intent to have this be a LEED building? Or we discussed that early on, but it kind of... We haven't reviewed it recently.
We're not pursuing LEED certification. Okay. We're making every effort to be sustainable. As Richard mentioned, with the high-performance glass, all the balconies are shaded. We shade the entire ground plane at the retail, at the plaza level. We have judicious use of just the water where it's only needed, and then that's our primary focal feature at the Vince Bell, and that's pretty much the extent of our sustainability approach.
Okay. Obviously, no water harvesting or any of that on the site. Is it mainly because of you're on top of the parking garage?
Yes and no. We are sloping the plaza levels to drain into the planters. You'll see that the only raised planters exist in the residence area. Everything else in the plaza is at grade planters. So that we will be dumping some water into those planters.
Okay, but most of it's collected and shuttled off site into the sewer system, or.
Into the stormwater system, yes.
Okay. How do you think this building will fare on with a 5-inch rain in 30 minutes? They happen about every 14 years.
About the same as what happens to the water on that site right now. Not much different.
Okay.
Okay. We're open for discussion.
I just had a question about, I know the existing sidewalk on the Congress Street side is the accessible ramp from the building to the corner. Is there any possibility of considering for the building users to access the plaza more directly? Do the grades allow you to look at that at all? For instance, between the water feature and the plaza itself in that area. Not that plaza. The building users from the office tower, I'm sorry. The office tower folks directly to the plaza?
Yes.
Yeah.
Entrance is here.
Right. So there's steps right there, and there's steps, I think, south of that. Mm-hmm. So the accessible route to the plaza for the office tower residents is around, right?
Yes, it comes around here.
Right. Yeah. And is there any possibility of integrating a ramp that's more direct for the building office users to the public plaza? Do the grades allow you to look at that at all?
It's almost 3 feet of workable amount of room there. Okay. We wanted to get one more in here. Mm-hmm. But we're just sort of pressed for space.
Yeah. It's just...
There wasn't any better way of...
It's just that seems like it's going to be such a much more desirable...
You come out...
...open space for the office users than it is now. And it would just be a more generous gesture to them, if it was possible. And then the only other thing, and you know this, but I just feel obligated to mention it. On the saturated colors, particularly on the balcony flashing, the fascia pieces, we as you do in your area, really experience fading of those so quickly. So I just want to caution that spec is carefully addressed.
So everyone needs like a kind of quality paint finish.
They're not pre-finished though, are they?
They should be.
Oh, they will be pre-finished? Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah. That's
we're not using any of those colors on EFIS or anything else. The metal all the way.
Great.
Hopefully pre-finished for that warranty and then
fade
resistance. Because, again, you're right on them. These colors tend to sort of get burned out quickly if you don't get the right material.
Okay.
those any other comments I had at this time.
Okay.
Just curious, why on the end along Broadway on the corner space is that residential rather than commercial?
This one?
Yeah.
That's for the feature only unit that the owner wanted to incorporate down there. It's kind of a programmatic issue.
For what?
It was a programmatic desire by the client, not the owner. At one point, we're going to do a fitness center there. It sort of programmatically changed a bit, but having a studio was sort of a desire of their part. And it's elevated actually above the walk surfaces around it, and it's separated by a planter, so you're somewhat separated from the sidewalk, but when you're in the unit, so it's kind of a nice corner vista that's a little bit different than the others. It's a unique space.
How deep are the balconies? What's the depth of the balcony?
5 to 6 feet. So enough room for the table chairs to actually be used.
Anything else?
Lori, anything about...
I have a question on the... Could you bring up the south elevation? And the comment regarding the additional glazing, could you point out what has been added?
Basically this much approximately.
And what is behind there?
It's a retail space.
Retail space. The plant materials on the westernmost strip, how wide is that? Is there any opportunity to do something else other than little tiny little things to get some verticality into that area?
It's really narrow. It's less than 24 inches. It's about 22. What we had, and it's also raised in there, what we had planned...
And existing. We should throw that as part of
it. That's all existing.
Uh-huh.
That's the ramp.
Ramp down,
right.
Down there. What we have planned there is euphorbia and some ornamental grasses. So they're not that large, but on top of the 3-foot planter, they're going to be screening upwards of 5.5 to 6 feet. Uh-huh. We felt it would be, you're driving right along those, so to get a little bit of wispiness and have some movement as it goes by would be appropriate. We didn't want to completely screen it off either from a safety standpoint because that's a pedestrian.
Is it kind of a person standing here? I mean, those plantings are basically going to be at this level as you walk along.
Yeah. There, so. Just an idea for consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Native cotton would probably fit in that area, get vertical, and it's like a miniature tree.
Hmm.
And
I've not
so,
used that before.
Anyway,
I'll look into that.
Just an idea.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And what about that stretch that's from the small plants to the larger plants where you don't have anything?
There's currently no planter, and I don't think there's room for one.
There's not enough room to add.
You're talking right about right here?
The missing this watch here.
You're talking about right here?
No.
There's no planter there. The wall's solid. There's...
Do you have a picture of it? It's in here.
Yeah.
We've got columns and other things that are in the way.
So it's adjacent to the vehicle ramp.
That's
correct. We have added, from your package, we've added plants in this area on south elevation. Uh-huh.
And actually, the bump out on stone as well, because in my packet it looks like rocks.
This one.
Here. Boom.
Up above. Up towards the Congress.
Here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So one comment. Some of us in this room recently sat through a feng shui presentation. Now, one of the things they were talking about is the power of an extremely pointed edge on a building and the psychological effect of that. Have any of you considered that on the far southwest corner of just the power of that point? And, you know, that it's kind of diametrically opposed to the very welcoming broad corridor of the pedestrian access to have this like knife edge pointing straight at anyone. So I hope that's not too obscure a point to bring up, but since we sat through that, and that was there, they gave several examples of that. Did you have any discussion about that or thought about that at all?
No, I've sort of forgotten all of my feng shui.
It's interesting that the owner chooses that point.
Yeah.
There's two banks in Hong Kong, the Bank of China and the Bank of America, I believe. And IMPA's building has this really sharp edge, and that was a intentional feng shui development to knock off the American bank.
Point all your energy power like arrows.
Yeah. Well, it looks like it's kind of pointed at La Placida.
Yeah, well, that's going down.
Well, it looks like it's going to miss the brown house.
Yeah.
Miss
the brown house, yeah.
So I think it's pointed at the new Foundation for Senior Living project.
Where are the arrows? Did I miss the arrows? Oh, it's
Carolina
Street.
Does present some interesting decorating challenges on the interior as well.
Those are the premier rental units.
Yes, I understand. Yeah.
How big are the units?
Our ones are 685 average, or is it 685? I'm dyslexic at the moment.
Or is it 586?
Yeah. Actually,
while you're looking at that, can I ask what that angle is? And is the inside fencing on the balcony at that same angle?
It's a 41.
Uh-huh. So it's really not a usable space within the balcony area, correct?
I mean, this comes to a narrow point. That's your sort of observation point.
It's your king of the world. Exactly.
Right.
It's your what?
I'm king of the world.
King of the world.
And that's the point.
That is the point.
You could put a bronze sculpture of Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Blanchett on it, too.
There you go.
So, yeah, one bedrooms tend to be about 700, a little over 700, so a nice kind of pretty efficient layout. Two bedrooms are about 1,200-ish. So,
are there any three at all?
No, three.
It's comprised of 60-40 split, 60% ones and 40% twos. One studio, the fun guy on the first floor.
And what, you said they're luxury, so what's the price rental point that you're looking at for those? Just offhand.
What are they? They're not quite sure.
It's market rate, of course, but. And still under consideration. Yeah, I don't know that there's a final number at this point yet.
But probably 1,200 to 1,800 instead of the 6 to 9.
I've not been involved in any conversations that included numbers at this point.
Okay.
So. Any other questions for the design team?
Just overall, I think you've done a great job on this project. Me, as opposed, I really like the corner.
Do you?
I do. I think, I mean, I really think the taste level in this building, well, I think the collaboration, I think you guys did a great job.
The owner and the client is, oh, we have to have these. They want to fight to the end of the world to keep those. So, and that was from day one, and I was surprised at us, because usually, oh, they're inefficient, oh, they're, you know, you hear them. So as a design team,
turn out
it was
really
great
nice.
To have someone just absolutely got out.
I think it's going to be a really neat space, too, for the plaza. Just a nice use area.
I'm kind of sad to see the old plaza go. I kind of like it, believe it or not. But I realize...
Sun-scorched area.
I hate to say this. In a car, it's a nice visual relief in downtown Tucson, right. And it is well-maintained. But it is not a very publicly activated space, and I'm glad that you are moving in that direction.
I think this building is not only a contrast to the old cultural stuff we have, but to the new stuff that's been built. This is a complete departure from that. I think it's contrasting to that as well.
It's what kind of makes cities rich, diverse urbanism and architecture. It's all very different and unique, but all plays well.
And I'd be happy to take an olive tree and find a spot for it.
I think you're going to get one.
Mr. Chair,
I have a question for
motion?
In a minute. I have a question for Lori. Laurie, would on the elements on you brought up on Broadway, the planters and maybe the use of cotton, would any sculptural elements in there help that verticality that you're looking at?
I think they would. Okay. Yeah, even you know, cutouts and wire mesh.
They don't take much water.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But just an idea for you to ponder. So, yes, we're willing to take a motion now, I believe, unless there's any other questions.
I think so.
Okay, you're on.
Mr. Chair, I did not hear any specific conditions during the presentation.
You are correct.
So, but I will add only this one, which would be our very common one of substantial changes. I don't think we anticipate any, but we would like to put that in, I would think.
Yes.
So I move to approve as presented with the single condition that if there are any substantial changes to what was presented today, that it's brought back to the committee.
And that would also include minor changes going to the design professional, correct?
That would be acceptable.
Okay.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. I do have potential place for the murals. Yes, we reviewed a property just north of downtown called 7th Avenue Commons. They have a garage side that needs some help, and it would actually be a really appropriate place to have murals about kindness and thoughtfulness and art there. So I reached out to that contractor owner, and we'll talk with him tomorrow afternoon. So I will.
Thank you. Have back in touch.
Okay. Okay.
There's probably some going up along Stone that could use a little relief too.
Next on the agenda is the future agenda items.
We will have La Placida submitted within the next 3 to 4 months.
Okay.
We are currently working on an overview plan of how we're going to deal with the street closures along Church and Broadway.
Okay.
So that's next.
Okay. Next on the agenda is also call the audience.
Great, thank you.
Okay. Then, at that point, this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Rob.
Mr. Viner, before you leave, why don't we introduce
you all to our new director?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Who are you, Valerie Arnold?
No. Finally,
I'll probably be one of the people who's speaking with the mayor and council
Don't ask about us though.
It's good to meet you. Thank you.
All right, so it is. This is Tim Johnson. I'm the architect.
Sorry.
road to the stick.
Everything else good. I did go by and look at that property.
All right, guys, see you later.
I thought of you instantly when I was driving up to my high school. Take care. When they first
I'm
not sure we'll be able to.
First two.
Parking garage excluded.
There's a reason it is the
same. Real quick, did you miss the
What's the ceiling height for the ground floor?
Yeah, I asked him too. I'm like, well, what's the answer?
I'm all
answer. Buckle now or?
But next Friday.
Hey, Chris. Great to see you.
I gotta make sure. I'll talk to
dropped you a little voice message. Oh, really? That means you're
Official.
I've been hired.
Because you got cards.
Oh, you have cards. Ready to have one of those cards, too.
So this, let me know. You typically go out with
Congratulations. Nice job.
So I could leave tomorrow after work if you have time. I just short notice, though. Otherwise, because my flight's at San Diego tomorrow. Let me see about next week.
And you do typically
Let's, maybe next week we can get together and.
I gotta mount it, which I can do pretty easily. So I just been routing until dark.
Yeah.
I have a light.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
well,
I just
come
have
around.
To mount it.
Okay.
So next week.
Good, that's right.
Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday.
Crazy. I know, it's time to fly, but it's nice.
It is.
All right. I guess they're leaving
without me. Tuesday's a definite, because I know Jill works late, so that's not an issue. It's an issue.
It's
if she's not
14:15, they said.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for your directions.
See you. I was saying maybe we can get together on Streetscape next week or something, if you have a few minutes.
I'll see you.
Just let me know.
Talk
Okay. Thanks, Linda.
And we'll talk about the new items.
Day next week, but what was that? Wednesday afterward.
Okay, well, let's look at the schedule and potential time, and then
We met this morning with transportation to talk about
the right-way closure. We may have a dinner with some friends who are from uptown on Wednesday or Thursday.
I think there may be
find out
in this closure on the church as well.
We'll talk more.
I temporarily rented a place on the Star Pass, so I'll see you there.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine. There's Star Pass or Sweetwater. Those both are really close. And so Star Pass has some more fun, more challenging aspects if you've ridden there. And then Sweetwater's more rolling with a little bit.
Right now, fire, police and fire are pretty
stringent.
It's north on Camino de Oeste, north of Speedway.
So maybe we can bring in, there's three lanes there.
So it's a bit north, and so maybe it's something we can do one day a little bit longer, so there's a little more time to do that. You know, Star Pass is very
good. So thank you for today.
Name it, whichever
one. Sure.
Okay. So,
yeah.
How's the transition going for you?
It's going all right.
Good.
Yeah, everyone's been really welcoming inside and outside of the organization, so that's been
nice scenes.
And
we'll see you.
Bigger challenges.
Hey,
we'll see you, Chris. Names and faces.
Oh my God, I know.
Yeah, like when I saw the email get forwarded,
recognized. I didn't know Chris Gaines was because I just remember it was Chris. I don't remember your last name.
Right.
And then when I said, oh, okay. I know. So I had a meaning to get a hold of each of you that were part of the interview process. Yeah, this is week 2.5 here right now. So, so that made
it
a little easier. Good.
So yeah, there's... And, it's good to see the cultures.
Even though the designers are like, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Did I ever show you?
I mean, I saw it in the meeting.
Looking at, I mentioned it to John, and he's like, no, maybe. That's good thinking out of the box. For Michael liked it when I saw him today.
Oh, good.
How to develop ways that